Well, it says in 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. This is what Scott figured out, isn't it? He started off being disconnected, being on the sidelines, walking through the doors, kind of like, all right, nobody notice me, and coming in here and then making a beeline for the doors. But then he found and he discovered his part in the church. I love that. I love that. We're going to get to talk about that this morning, your part in the church. By the way, my name is Jim Powell. I'm the discipleship pastor here. Pastor Marty's away this week. And but I'm excited to share with you from the scripture this morning. You know, the thing is that our society is increasingly contactless. I don't know if you've noticed this, but I got a receipt at a restaurant the other day, and it made me aware that I had just made a contactless transaction. And ever since the pandemic, really, so many things are contactless, right? But even with the growth of technology and such, like, we've been increasingly becoming maybe independent or distanced and being able to do things on our own. Now, contactlessness is, of course, a good thing when it comes to disease prevention, but it is not a good thing when it comes to relationships, and it's not a good thing when it comes to the church. You know, there are probably some of you here this morning who, sort of like Scott articulated, you view church as a contactless thing. You want to come in and sort of keep to yourself and then go. And there could be a lot of different reasons for that. Maybe it's just apathy, just being like, church is pretty cool. I get something out of it, but I don't really see the need to go much beyond that. It could be sort of being confused about, okay, how do I get involved in the church? It could be just being really busy. Like, I got so many things going on in my life, I can't really be a part of the church. It could be coming and feeling like uninvited, like people aren't welcoming to you and inviting you into be in the, as a part of the church. Now, if that's you this morning, I'm so encouraged. We get to open up the scripture together, and we're going to take a look at what the Apostle Paul has to say about that. He's writing to a church in Corinth, and I think it applies to us as well. Now, I was telling somebody the other day about this. They said, what are you preaching on Sunday? I said, discovering our part in the church and getting connected to the church. And they said, getting connected to the church, and they were like, I'm hyper-connected. And I was like, okay, so they're like on this, all the way over here, like hyper-connected, like doing everything. But you know, the truth is there's some danger to that as well. There's unhealthy ways to be connected to the church. And so maybe you're hyper-connected. Maybe you're somewhere in between this morning. Whatever the case, we're going to get to take a closer look at what it means to be a part of the church this morning. I love the song that Brandon and Cassie sang to the song right before Come Thou Fount. It said, Spirit of God, breathe on the church, pour out your presence, and speak through your word. You know, this is why we open up God's word each and every Sunday, is because we believe that God speaks to us through this. And so we're in 1 Corinthians, and he's going to speak to us this morning through that. And what we're going to find out is that God has called each of us into a creative, collaborative, Christ-centered, caring church community. That's a lot of C's, isn't it? Creative, collaborative, Christ-centered, caring church community. Now, in order to memorize this, I put this into a song, a little jingle, because I grew up in the 1980s where every commercial had a jingle. You know what I mean? Like, Juicy Fruit is gonna move you. Do you remember that one? And so I put it to a jingle. And I told my daughter, I said, what do you think about this? And I sang it to her. And she looked at me and she said, Dad, do not sing that on stage. You will embarrass yourself and our entire family. So do you want to hear it? Yeah. It goes like this. We've been called into a creative, collaborative, Christ-centered, caring church community. What do you think? That's pretty good. But she thought this was going to be embarrassing, and I told her, you know, if Sabrina Carpenter were to cut that track and drop it, it would go straight to number one. But even so, she told me, she said, please, 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 Dad, do not sing that. All right, so that's what we're going to do together. We're going to look at the scripture that tells us that we are to be a part of a creative, collaborative, Christ-centered, caring church community, and I won't sing it again. I won't sing it again. Middle schoolers, I won't sing it again. I promise, okay? All right, so the first thing is that we need to be clear. That's the first C. And we look at verses 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, and he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware. I don't want you to be confused. I want to be clear with you. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And so obviously, they were a church and they were confused on what the spiritual gifts were, how to operate within the church. They had a lot of influence from the outside pagan spiritual cultures. And Paul had taught them initially, but they had sort of mixed those two, and it was confusing. It was getting very confusing for them. And so Paul's goal is to clarify how to work in the church. Now, Paul clarifies two main things in this passage. One is the nature of spiritual gifts. The other thing that Paul clarifies is the nature of the unity of the church. Now, we can't preach on both this morning. And so I'm going to be preaching on the nature of the unity in the church, how we operate in the church, and not the nature of the spiritual gifts. And so for some of you who saw me open up 1 Corinthians 12, you're like, oh, good. Finally, they're going to tell me about the gift of tongues. I've been wondering about that for a long time, and we're going to preach on that. We're not going to this morning. I'm sorry. You can come afterwards and ask me about that. But we're not going to get into the specific spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about the nature of the church. Both were confusing for the church at Corinth. And Paul seeks to clarify these things. Do you know that, I looked this up, there was a study that was done about a year ago, and it said that the emotion of confusion, being confused about something, is more stressful than being certain about a negative thing. Did you know that? That is crazy to me. And I felt that because the last couple weeks, you know, I've been really confused and uncertain about whether or not Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce were still a thing. I didn't know. And then the football game last Thursday happened, and I saw her there. She was cheering them on. And so I was like, phew, that's good. They're still together. I'm kidding, of course. I don't really care about that. But the point is that confusion in the church can not only be stressful, but it can actually be divisive as well. And so, you know, one of our goals here at Burke Community Church is to be as clear as we can about what we're doing, about the nature of what we believe God's doing here. You know, each and every week, Pastor Marty comes up here and he unpacks the Word of God for us. And Pastor Marty, if you've been around for a while, you know he digs deep, right? He digs some deep and sometimes confusing theological truths in Scripture, but he brings them out and makes them clear for us to understand. That's what the church should be doing. We should be clear about what God is saying to us. You know, a couple weeks ago, Brandon was leading a song, and he encouraged many of us to put our hands in the air while we were singing it. Because some of you have come in here, you might come from a different church background, and you see people with their hands in the air, and you're like, what, do they want to be called on or something? What's going on in here? But Brandon did a great job of saying, hey, no, this is a good thing, and here's why. He explained it. It was clear. You know, it's something when you bring kids here to church, and as many of you did, and we want to be clear about what to expect, where to take your kid, what are they going to be doing. It is important in the context of a church to be very clear. One of the areas we need to be really clear on is how to get involved and how to serve, how to find out your part in the church. That's what the sermon is, discovering your part in the church. And so we've put together something that I'm going to show you in just a few minutes that I think will help be more clear about discovering your part in the church. But that's in just a couple minutes. Because I want to jump into the next scripture. So the first one was to be clear about being a creative, collaborative, Christ-centered, caring church community. Remember all those C's? So creative, let's look at this. This is verses 4 and 6, if you're following along. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 and 6. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. I love this verse because it is saying that God has created each and every one of you uniquely and for a purpose. When I look out in this church, you are a cornucopia of beautiful creation. And cornucopia is one of those words that you can't use it unless it's the fall. So that's why I use cornucopia. So a variety, you can say variety too, of gifts and designs. And so I wanted you to do something for, well, actually, before we do this little exercise, I want to explain, because this is really cool. So there's a variety of ways that God's made you, but the same God making you. But look at the other list that the Apostle Paul's using. He says gifts, and there's varieties of ministries, and there's a variety of effects. And you're like, what's the difference between these? Well, the first one is that there are a variety of gifts, and these are sets of gifts, and they're outlined in some other places in Scripture, such as like teaching or wisdom or healing or hospitality, prophecy, things like that. Now, a subset of those gifts that God has given are what's called ministries. And these are areas in the church that you can carry out your use of these gifts in some different ways. And then the effects are the activities within these ministries that you get to focus on. So an example might be, you might have the gift of hospitality, but the ministry you choose is maybe women's ministry. So I'm going to use the gift of hospitality and women's ministry. I'm not going to, by the way, but you might be saying that. And then the specific effect or the activity that you're going to do is, I don't know what it is. Maybe you're going to cook a meal for the widows group and come and serve it and eat with them or something like that. So that's the nature of these gifts, ministries, and effects that Paul's talking about here. But everybody's created differently to use their gifts in different ways. So here's your exercise. I want you to do this. I want you to look at the person next to you and say, wow, you're different than I am. Ready, go. Now, some of you looked at the person next to you, and you just sort of deadpanned it, just like I did. Wow, you're different than I am. Some of you were like, wow, you're different than I am. Others of you maybe were like, wow, you're different than I am. And if you were to have done the third, that's the correct way to think about it. Because every single person in here is created differently, because that's how creative our God is. I mean, it's mind-blowing how creative he is, and he's wired you each uniquely to be a part of the church. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing when we're able to use those gifts. But you know, some of us struggle with understanding our creative design. We either don't know what it is, or we might feel bad about it, or think that our creative design isn't as good as someone else's, or maybe we want one, a particular gift, but we have something else. There was a preaching professor that told this story to one of my classes a couple years ago, and there was a student in seminary who they preached their sermon, you know, their sermon in class. And afterwards, the professor sort of marked it up and was like, you know, here's some of the things you need to improve upon. And then at the end, the professor said, look, you're a good dude and you're going to do great things in ministry, but I don't think you have the gift of teaching. And the student said, yeah, I do have the gift of teaching. So anyway, a couple weeks go by, he comes and he does his second sermon. And same thing happens, has to mark him up and say, look, I think you're gifted in this area, but you're not gifted in teaching. Well, the seminary student says, no, I am gifted in teaching. I am gifted in teaching. Well, third time happens, and he preaches, and the professor says, I have to tell you this because we're going on summer break, and you're going to do great things in the kingdom of God, but it's not going to be teaching. You don't have the gift of teaching, of preaching. And the student doubles down and he says, yeah, I do have the gift of preaching. And finally the professor says, fine. None of us have the gift of listening to you then. So we are all gifted differently, and we need to celebrate how God has uniquely created us. I love here at this church where we do try and celebrate the creative design of each person in our congregation. Over the past couple years, in fact, Matt Sims, he's come in as one of our pastors and started the drama ministry. And so there's been students, a lot of you middle schoolers have been a part of the drama ministry, which has been incredible and been able to allow them to use their creative design for God's glory. Other people have been designed by God to be on a worship team and to sing or play their instrument. Or some people maybe love the idea of worship team, but they're not as gifted musically, but they love tech stuff. And so they get to work cameras or click buttons or all that kind of stuff. Maybe you want to serve in children's ministry. We always need people to serve in children's ministry. Whatever it is, understanding your creative design is so important, and we have roles for all of you. Oh, by the way, I got to give a shout out to the coffee team. The coffee team is my favorite team here at Burke Community Church. You got to, every single time I'm here, they give me a steaming hot cup of coffee, and they do it with a smile, and their creative design is one of my favorite. So thank you to the coffee team. All right, so we are creative, but we're also collaborative. So let's turn to the next verse, and this is verse 7. It says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And then we jump ahead. It says, for just as the body is one and yet has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though they are many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Here's what we know. There are many. We just talked about that. But we are intended to come together for the glory of God, but also for the good of the church. There's this great band that I grew up with and still love this band. Their name is U2, and they did one of my favorite songs. It's called One. And in One, Bono sings, we're one, but we're not the same. But we get to carry each other, he repeats. That is collaboration. You know, one of my sons is in the orchestra at school, and he plays the cello. But he sits across from someone who plays a different instrument, the violin. In the back, there are the violas. And then behind him, there is the bass section. Sometimes they even have drums. Sometimes they have a variety of other instruments. But here's what's cool. They're all playing different instruments. They're all actually playing on slightly different sheets of music. But when it comes together, it is a beautiful sound. I think that's what God is talking about. I think that's how the church should sound. It should sound beautifully with everyone playing their individual unique roles. All right, remember I was telling you that we wanted to be clear here at church. It's very important in a church to be clear. And so, and I think we do that in a lot of ways really well. But one brand new way that we're trying to be super clear is in how to serve as a part of the church. You may have walked in this morning and there were some banners up. So we're going to emphasize that over the next couple months, is how to discover your part in the church. Well, this is cool. We came up with a new sort of pathway mechanism on our website to be able to help you have a clear path of understanding where the needs are and how you can use your creative gift to collaborate in the life of the church. So I wanted to show you real quick. Let's go ahead and roll that. So this is our website. And then if you go to it, burkcommunity.com, you scroll down and you're going to find different ministries, but one says service. You click on that. Those are my, the coffee people were on that. So you scroll down and you're like, you're thinking, oh, I think God may have wired me to do, okay, I'm going to serve in the Thrive ministry. That's the special needs ministry. And so it's going to, you click on that and it's going to tell you a little bit more about that. Now it's going to tell you how many opportunities there are and what there are. And you just click on it and then you're going to put your name in there and you're going to send that to the leader of that ministry. They will contact you immediately and tell you more about that opportunity. Now, different opportunities have some different vetting processes, of course. If you want to serve with kids, you need to do a background check and those sorts of things. If you want to start serving in the parking lot or being an usher, it's a little bit of a different pathway. Nonetheless, that is sort of a clear, simple way to think about and get started serving as your part in the church. And that's how we collaborate with one another. So I wanted to show that to you so that hopefully a little bit later today or this week, you'll jump on the website and go look at where might you collaborate? Where might you use your creative gift to collaborate in the church? All right, so we move on and we're in verse 13 now, and it says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." I love this verse. I love the picture that Paul is painting here. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Now, I don't think he's talking about the kind of baptism exactly that we do each month here. We have baptisms where people display their individual faith through getting dunked in the water. I think what Paul is saying here, he's using the word baptize, and it's the Greek, maybe you know this, is baptismo, and it simply means to immerse or dunk. And so what I believe Paul's saying here is that in order for us to be the church, we should be creative, or we are created uniquely by God. We need to be collaborative, but the most important thing is that we are dunked, that we are soaked in the goodness of Jesus Christ. That's what we need, to be dripping wet with the goodness of Jesus. I think about we have a new 1-year-old lab, black lab, at our house, and every time she sees water, pew, beeline to the water, and she just plunges in. She loves water. And then when she comes out, she is sopping wet, just dripping all over. And then she does the donkey shake, you know, and it goes all over us. And it's sort of maddening and sort of fun at the same time. If that's ever happened to you, I don't know. But she's just dripping, like drenched wet. That is a picture of what the church needs to be in the body of Christ. We need to be soaking wet with Jesus. The difference between a church community and any other community is its likeness to and representation of Jesus Christ. It says in Colossians chapter 1 that he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. You know, I think about this, a great, good illustration for this is the quarterback on an offense in the football. You know, there's a big football game coming up today. It's the Commanders are playing at 1 o'clock against the Ravens. Did you know this? Any Commanders fans out there? Yeah, three of you. Good. I'm not. I'm a Ravens fan, so sorry about that. But it's going to be a good game, whatever the case. But you think about it, if you know anything about football, you know that the offense really only moves if there's a quarterback out there. Like, no quarterback, nothing good is going to happen. The same is true about being Christ-centered as the church. Jesus has to be a part of it, has to be at the center of it for it to work. Greg Allison, in his textbook on the church, this is a book that's been in print for a long time and seminaries all over the place use. He says, essential characteristics of the church include these three things: that it would be for God's glory, that it would be centered on the incarnate word of God, that is Jesus Christ, spoken through scripture here. And number three, that it would be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So what are some ways that as a church we remain Christ-centered? Well, one of them is that we every week we come together and we open God's word together. What we're doing right now helps us to remain Christ-centered. We also do things, practice the ordinances of communion and baptism. Communion we just did a little bit earlier today. Matt was up here helping us to remember Christ's sacrifice. Every single month we do baptism. There's also coming together and singing worship, keeping Christ at the center of that. All those different spiritual disciplines are such key parts of the church so that we can remain Christ-centered, so that we can remain dripping wet with Jesus. Now, we mentioned way earlier, at the very beginning, I talked about how some people were disconnected or contactless. Remember what the other people were? I'm hyper-connected. Some of you are hyper-connected, and maybe you're like over-committed to the church. One of the dangers in that is that you are actually church-centered rather than Christ-centered. That the church has almost replaced the role of Christ. And the effect of that is if you're church-centered, you're going to end up drying up and really burning out in your faith and in your role as being a part of the church. If you remain Christ-centered, he allows you to flourish. And then the Spirit through you allows you to serve well in the church as you're discovering your part in the church. So that's one of the dangers of being hyper-connected. I want to sum this section up. It's a great, one of my favorite books is called Searching for Home by Craig Barnes, and he talks about how home is our relationship, our eternal relationship with Jesus Christ, and we're all longing for that and searching for that. But our home away from home, or our surrogate home, is the church. But he writes about that and talks about the importance of keeping Christ at the center of it. He says, the church is not our home away from home because it preaches interesting sermons, has exciting worship, builds beautiful structures, or because its many programs cater to our felt needs. It is only the body of Christ to the degree that it finds its life, mission, and hope in Christ. There is no other basis for this household to exist, no other means by which it will serve the world around it as a sanctifying and redemptive presence, and no other hope for it to be the tabernacle leading us home. None of that is possible apart from being a community in Christ. That's what we get to do as a church. So we're creative, we're collaborative, we're Christ-centered, and you remember the other one? We're caring. It's another C. We're caring. So I want to flip over, flipping over my page anyway, to verse 26. It says, and if one part of the body suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If a part is honored, all the parts rejoice with it. This concept from the Apostle Paul was a fresh concept in the culture in which they lived. The early first century Roman culture did not put a high value on humility and serving others in this way. And so the Apostle Paul did. And so what happened was, is that because the church served one another within the church and people outside of the church so well, people from outside of the church looked in and they were like, whoa, what kind of amazing stuff is going on in that church? I want to be a part of that church because of how they are serving and treating one another and how they are serving and treating those outside of the church who are in need. And I think a good question for us to ask ourselves is the church still doing that in a way that our culture around us looks in and says, whoa, the church is doing a great job serving one another and serving those in need outside of the church? I hope so. I don't think the answer is always yes, but it should be a goal of ours for it to be. And I got to give a shout out. Our Outward Ministries department here has been doing a great job engaging with folks who are in need. And I want to especially highlight the employment ministry. We got two folks on staff now, Evan and Joel. They're wonderful guys, and they're spending their time in the employment ministry thinking about how we can support and help those who are unemployed or underemployed in our community and in our church to be able to connect with jobs, to be able to gain money to help support their families, but also the dignity of having work. They're doing an outstanding job there. And actually at the end of this month, I think it's October 28th, there's going to be a group that they're trying to put together for business leaders. So if you're a business leader, maybe you can serve in this way and getting together with them to talk about how we can care for one another and how we can care for the community. We have a great care ministry here who serves meals and when people are in need, hospital visits, things like that. Respite night is for our special needs ministry, and that happened just this past Friday night, and it's a beautiful way to support those in our community who need support from us. So some practical ways to do that is just by getting involved. Remember, I showed the video up there. You can just click on Respite Night. You can click on Outward Ministries and be able to and sign up for that. All right, the last thing is that we are called into this this creative, collaborative, Christ-centered, caring church community. And I want to end with where we started in the scripture, which is verse 27. It says, now you are Christ's body. You are Christ's body. And each of you is a part of it. If you're a Christian in here this morning, you are a part of the church. If you're not, if you're still exploring your faith, or if you have big questions about who Jesus is and what it means to connect with your Creator through a relationship with Him, first of all, let me tell you, we're glad you're here, and we believe you are in the right place this morning. We have a group that meets called Discover Jesus on Tuesday nights. Come out this Tuesday night, ask some of your questions, start to learn more about what that means to have a relationship with Jesus and how important it is. We believe it's the most important thing you can do in your life is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But if you do already, if you're a Christian, you are a part of the church. Did you know that? It's not really an option. The option is deciding what your part is in the church, and that's between you and the Lord. It's how He has created you. You have been called by God.